One thing I love about coming to church is that when you've been thinking about something all week and then you come in the morning and during prayer, you start to hear some of the same things that you've heard about. And this morning, Brian shared about the Father's heart and that's something that I want to kind of share about today. And if I could call it anything, I'd call it like the tale of two hearts. And in prayer, Stan had a vision, and that vision is that there was a paint can sitting over in the corner and used for quite a long time. And in his vision, what does that mean? And he's seen like God opening the paint can and using a stir stick and stirring that paint can, and preparing it to be used and to be a vibrant color so that it could be put on a wall again. And that's an awesome vision. I think every once in a while, all of us need to come to that place where, yeah, we've probably been that paint can sitting over in the corner for maybe just a little bit too long. And God's desire for us always is to just open that can, stir it up, and use it, because He's given each and every one of us a gift. And so this morning, I want to share a little bit of the Father's heart with you. I've been reading in Isaiah 55, so if you're following along in your Bible, we're going to start in Isaiah 55. And as you go through there, it really communicates what God's heart towards us. So I'm just going to start there. And the first thing that it says in Isaiah 55 is anyone thirsty? And I think that that's the most important thing. He's asking a question, but He actually knows that we are all thirsty. But He asks that question, is anyone thirsty? Because He wants us to ask ourselves that. Am I thirsty? Yes, I'm thirsty. Okay, I'm thirsty. Now what? Now what do I do? Because He says, come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine and milk. It's all free. And I love that right away, no matter where you are, whether you know Him, whether you've known Him for a long time, no matter what place you are in life, His heart is always this. Are you thirsty? Yes, come and drink. I'm even going to give you a choice. You can either have wine, have milk, and it's free. You don't have to bring anything from whatever place that you're in, and you can have milk or honey, it's free. And He goes on to say, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. And there's just like so much there. There's so much in this scripture. You know, Christina and I, we're kind of foodies, so we really like food. One of our favorite things to do is go to a city and try to find some good food. So we were just in Kamloops recently, and we like Donairs. We had been to Vancouver a couple months ago. We found some Donairs. They were okay. They were good, but they weren't great. So we find this hole in the wall in Kamloops, and it's like you walk in there, you're like, this place probably definitely isn't food safe. However, you could see them making this stuff, and it smells awesome. And so he points out, oh, that one's the large, and it didn't look that big, right? And Christina's like, I'll have a regular. So they give me this thing, and it is like, seriously, you got to grip it with two hands, right? And it is just full of sauces, and there's sauce dripping off your hands and sauce dripping off your mouth. And I was like, this is the best donair I've ever eaten. And Christina was like, oh, it's good, but it's not as good as Germany. But I don't believe her, because this was seriously so good. But the Bible says, Jesus says, listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest foods. But He says, listen to me, right? He goes on to say, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. Again, he's trying to communicate His heart. My kids, the thing that I find myself saying, are you listening? Just every day, over and over and over, are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Hey, are you listening? And that's because we want the best for our kids, right? It's not because we just want to control them and we just want to make them into mini adults. We just want the best for them. And that's what God is saying here too. He's like, listen to me. Come with your ears wide open. Come to me. Hear my heart, because in my heart is the treasures of life. And if you come to me, if you listen to me, you will find life, okay? And so, then it goes on to say, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you the unfailing love I promised to David. And I love David. It's this like, you know what? He says, I'm going to give you the unfailing love that I promised to David. Well, as far as I know, committed adultery and then killed the bin so that no one will find out that I committed adultery. So if he's going to give unfailing love to David because David came back and listened, then it doesn't really matter where I've been. He's always there and he always wants me to come back to him. Like Brian said this morning, he's like, I got to go tell my dad. I got to go be with my dad. Not, oh, my dad's going to find out, but you know what? I messed up. I got to go be with my dad. That's an amazing picture there. And that's the father's heart here. And then he goes on to say, see how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations, do you not know? And peoples unknown to you will come running to obey. That's cool. Because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. And we need to see that as a church. In the Old Testament, he was talking about Israel as being glorious. But in the New Testament, it's his church that he made. We need to see ourselves in that way, is that we are his glory in this earth. And when we listen, when we open our ear, when we come to him, he will make us glorious. He will make us glorious as a body. And that's what people will want to run to. That's what people will want to come to. He says, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. And that's kind of even what Brian was talking about this morning. And this is what I'm talking about, is like when the Holy Spirit is trying to say, and he does it through multiple people. It says, turn, for he will forgive generously. He is not there waiting for you to grovel at his feet. Multiple times and multiple days, he is there saying, come to me and you're forgiven. Now let's go. Let's move on. That's 1 of 17. Let's see if we can get through these. In verse 8, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. And that's forgiveness in essence is forgiveness. Our thoughts don't want to forgive, but his thoughts do want to forgive. We have to struggle and work through forgiveness, don't we? Have you ever been in a place where somebody's wronged you and now it's like, well, I forgive you, but I don't trust you? Or, you know, we have to work out forgiveness in our hearts, but his heart and thoughts, and forgiveness is just something that just comes out of him, right? It's who he is. Forgiveness and reconciliation is one of the most amazing things about our God. And it says, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And this is the other reason why we need to listen. That's why we need to listen and come with our ears open, is because his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we need to be able to connect with those ways and those thoughts. It says, the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and they stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. So his word always produces something. It says that it causes the seed to grow for the farmer. So what's the farmer supposed to do? He's supposed to sow the seed. And so if we, as being farmers, we come to him, causes seeds to grow in us so that we can spread those seeds. And it says that we give, it's bread for the hungry. So if we have his word in our hearts, we have bread for the hungry. We have bread for the thirsty as well, right? It says, it's the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want to do and it will prosper wherever I send it. That's just That's just amazing. But it's His word, it's not our word. And so what He says and what He does always prospers. So if we're in line with Him, what we say and what we do will prosper as well when we're using His word in our lives. Because it says, you will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. So, how many people are living in joy and peace? Hopefully, everybody's living in joy and peace. But then there's something wrong compared to what the Word of God is saying. And maybe that's because we're not listening. Maybe that's because our ears aren't open to what He's saying. Because here it says, you will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. That's got to be where every single musical comes from, I think, hey? Just because they're just going to... How would life be if you just felt like the mountains were just... breaking into song, and the trees were just clapping everywhere you went? Like, I don't know, that's awesome if you ask me. That excites me. That's the place where I want to be. It's like, I don't want to be in a musical, but I want to feel like my relationship with God is so good that the mountains are just saying, woo! Yeah, or the trees are clapping and the mountains are singing. Man, that's what God says. So, it says, once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. So I was like, well, what's a cypress tree? So I looked it up online and I was like, wow, that's a pretty cool tree. And it's really well rooted. So I don't want to have thorns in my life. I would rather be a well rooted tree. And it says where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. And I know in our fields at home, there's lots of stinging nettle and there's lots of thorns. And you know what? We kind of stay away from those areas. So if we as believers are full of nettles and thorns, people are probably not going to want to come around us, right? But I was like, well, what's a myrtle? So I looked it up and it's actually like a little tree with beautiful flowers on it. So that's cool. I would rather replace what's in my life, the stuff and nettles, with flowers and well-rooted trees. So it says these events will bring great honor to the Lord's name, and they will be an everlasting sign of His power and love. And so this is kind of His heart for us. He always wants us to come to Him. He always wants us to listen. He wants our ears to be wide open. He wants us to be in His word, and He wants us to live this life of peace and joy that's abundant, that's revived, that's refreshed, that's brings Him glory, that He is making us glorious so that we bring Him glory, right? So listen to me, come with your ears wide open, is about our Him. So now, our hearts, the condition of our heart is very important. It's really our connection point to God. Our hearts are our connection point to God. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and it has been ever since I was like in my 20s, fairly newly saved. And it's always a place where I can go and I can check myself again. And it's Psalm 24:1. So if you want to go to Psalm 24:1, we'll read a bit of that. First of all, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." So this needs to be the first stage of our hearts, I believe, is being able to turn our lives over to the fact. You know, so many times we want to hold on to things. This is my house. This is my car. These are my things. This is, you know, all of us can go into that place because it's easy to go into that place. But this says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. It's all His. And this is an amazing scripture right here. It says, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord, and who may stand in His holy place?" That's a question that we need to ask ourselves, because it's each of us individually need to ask ourselves this. Who may stand in his holy place? Who may ascend his hill? The one with clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Same thing. They will reward and vindication from God the Savior. And it goes on to say, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And when I was reading this, I was like, what? Lift up what head, you gates? Lift up what ancient door? Well, I believe that he's talking about the doors and gates of our heart, because it says, let the King come in. And so it's our responsibility of believers to open these gates to our heart and let him come in. When we're listening, let that word come in. Let him come in. Let him change our lives. And that's not always the easiest thing to do, is it? But in Matthew 5:8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for them. And so right there it goes to show you, it just said the ones with a pure heart, they're the ones that get to see God. They're the ones that get to be with God. And blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. That's our connection point to him. Our connection point to him is our hearts and having our hearts open to him. And so if that's being said, then are our hearts not a priority for us to take responsibility for? Each and every one of us have the responsibility to take care of our own hearts. It's not someone else's job, it's our job. Because out of the heart, in Luke 6:45, it says, the good person out of the good treasures of the heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil, for it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So it also of our life. So it determines what we produce, and it determines the course of our Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So it determines what we produce. It determines the course in our life. And Proverbs says to guard it above all else. That's in the New Living Translation. The NIV says above all else, it puts it first, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So why do we have to guard our hearts? And how do we guard our hearts? So that our hearts can be like the Father's heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things, and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? And that's why we need to guard our hearts, because it takes us in all kinds of... You know, it is true. The Bible does say that when we become born again, God gives us a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. And that, you know, even Stan, I was talking to Stan about that this morning, and he said, that's so God can massage our heart. But it's so that we can hear what the Father has to say and not just be cold to it. But the heart is deceitful above all things. And the only way that we can guard it and the only way that we can protect it is to have our ears open and to be listening, have our ears wide open and to be listening. And listening to what? Listening to the Word. The only way to know Jesus, I'm going to say this really boldly, is by reading the Bible. He can reveal himself to you. He can show you that he is real. He can give you revelation. He can do a bunch of other things and for you to begin to know him. But if you're not reading who he is, if you're just a person who believes that every revelation that they get is following God, and that's who God is, then I'm going to tell you, your heart is going to be deceitful and it's going to lead you down paths. The Word of God is there to protect us. It's there to bring us back to what the heart of God is. It's to bring us back to who he is, and it's for us to adjust our lives to that, right? Because our hearts can do all kinds of funny things, right? They can make us pursue love. They can make us want to take revenge or follow money. And one of the biggest things I see in church is that we can justify offense and unforgiveness, right? is that, well, that person did something wrong to me, and unless they apologize or unless they make it right, I'm not going to forgive them. Our hearts can also be compassionate and generous and cover sins, but that's only when we read the Bible and we read, oh, I'm supposed to do something other than what I'm doing right now. Right? You know, I've seen people who can call themselves Christians take bitterness and unforgiveness to the grave. And it absolutely blows my mind, because the premise of Christianity is forgiveness and reconciliation. But how do we know that unless we are reading the Word and it convicts us? It convicts us that our heart is being deceitful. Anybody else ever found themselves following their heart where it shouldn't be? You know, this isn't a punishable thing. Right? Because all of us are going to find ourselves going down this path where every once in a while we are following our deceitful hearts, even believing sometimes that it's God. And then in the end, we find ourselves in a place where He opens our eyes and He reveals to us that this is not me, this is not my way. And then what? Are you thirsty? Come to me. And choose milk or wine. It's correctable. Christianity, there's things that are correctable, not punishable. God doesn't punish us, but He does correct us. Even as elders in the church, you know, most difficult people in the church to deal with are the people who have been Christians for decades and haven't read their Bible for decades either. Right? Because as an elder, you're supposed to bring correction. Unfortunately, that's what we do as elders. Is one of the things we do is we're supposed to bring correction. And that's the worst thing that we can do. And none of us like it. We don't sit around, me, Stan, Nathan, and Colin going, wow, Christina Bright, she needs correction. Which one of you guys wants to do it? I do. Right? It's like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? God, help us. It's terrible. But you know what? As a believer, it's your responsibility to discipline and control yourself. Right? Amen. It's really important. It's our responsibility to guard our own responsibility to renew our own minds. How do we guard our hearts? We renew our minds with the Word of God. We place that into our hearts. We say, hey, heart. You're being deceitful. This is what the Word of God says. Renew your mind. Renew your mind so you can guard your heart. When we don't control ourselves, we break relationship. So if you don't take away anything else from this message today, take this away, is that if you're not disciplining yourself and controlling yourself, you're breaking relationships somewhere. And if you don't believe me, just think about your kids. I know that we've talked a little bit about the way that we're trying to raise based on relationship than it is on punishment. Because when our kids do something wrong, this is what we try to do. It usually ends up in yelling like everybody else, but this is what we try to do. We try to say, hey, listen. You need to control yourself. So we want to teach our kids, you guys need to control yourselves. And if you're not going to control yourselves, you're breaking the relationship with us, and then you have to go and do something somewhere else away from us because we don't want you here right now. And if you can't control yourselves, then we're going to have to help you. So you have a choice. All of us have a choice. We have to control ourselves, or somebody's going to come and bring correction for us. That's just the way life works. Does it work like that at your work? Yes, it does. And if you're the boss, does it work like that with your employees? Yes, it does. You have to correct your employees if they're coming late every single day. They're not controlling themselves. They're not being disciplined. In your marriage, does it work? Your wife, your relationship is probably broken with her because you're not controlling yourself and controlling your emotions. We can only control ourselves. We can't control anybody else, but we can control ourselves. And it's why God says that he disciplines those he loves. Why? Why does he discipline and correct those he loves? To bring them back into relationship with himself. With himself. Himself. Yeah, I could say that. There's three of them. Himself. He brings them back in relationship with himself. By disciplining him, by disciplining the ones that he loves, right? So I just want to challenge each and every one of you with asking yourself and asking God, where is my heart right now? Have I been controlling my mind? Am I following a deceitful heart? Am I one of the little foxes that's spoiling the vine in my relationships with people? Another part of God's heart is in Song of Solomon 2 verse 14. And I just want to read this to you. This is the Father's heart towards us. And so the Song of Songs is all about this mushy love relationship that most men probably don't even like to read because it's like, you know, like some sappy movie that only girls like. But here's these two talking to each other, and it's maybe you like sappy movies as a man, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you if that's the case. We you can like whatever you want. Here's the relationship that these two are having with each other at this moment. It says, "My dove is hiding behind the rocks, behind the oak. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is pleasant and your face is lovely." This is the Father's heart towards us, right? And this should be our heart towards the Father. This is what she says back to him. "Catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, and for the grapevines are blossoming." What she's saying is that there's some things that can ruin our relationship. I want you to catch them. And that's what God is going to do. He wants to catch these little foxes before they ruin the relationship between him and his church. Him and the bride, right? So I want you to ask yourself, am I a little fox? And if you're a little fox, stop peeing on the vines. But it's not punishable. It's just adjustable and correct forgiveness. Move on. Let's do this things together. And with offense, man, my goodness, I'm going to preach about offense. As being in leadership for a long time in the church, I have seen some of my best friends get offended and leave the church over such little things. And it's just like, come on. Unity isn't about just blind obedience, but it is about covering sins, forgiving others, getting over offense, going to the person who offended you and not the person who's next to you and working those things out. Is that an easy thing? No, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. If I gotta go to Brian and say, "Hey Brian, I've been having these thoughts about you. That sucks. But I've done it, right? And did that risk?" Yep. And it's part of Christianity, man. It's part of Christianity. Reconciliation is part of Christianity. If an elder has to correct you because you haven't been correcting yourselves, it's not like, oh man, he's controlling me and I'm offended because he has no right to do that. Actually, he does. That's biblical Christianity. You got to read the book. The basics of Christianity are authority and submission. And everybody's doing it. Right? We're all submitting to the king. We're all submitting to his authority. If you don't know that, you got to read the book. It's not being lorded over you as an iron rod. It shouldn't even have to happen if you're correcting and disciplining yourself. I didn't know if I was going to get intense today, but I got. But once again, it's the Father's heart for us to come back to Him. And to come back to Him and say, God, forgive me. I've been in a place I shouldn't have been. I was a fox that was wrecking the vines. I was breaking relationships. I was following a deceitful heart. Okay, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Boom, done, over. Let's open our ears. Let's listen. Let's adjust our thinking. Let's adjust our hearts. And let's move forward together. When we had we had a worship meeting here on Wednesday, and it was, Brian gave like an amazing illustration, and it is about what this church is about. The some voluntolds. Let's do this illustration. Okay, Colin and do this illustration for everybody else as well. So, I'm the leader of the church, right? In one, so there's three scenarios. I'm the leader of the church. Now you guys, what are you going to do? Bow down to me. I'm the authority. I know everything. I am going to tell you what to do, and you are going to obey me, and that's the way that this church is going to run. Yeah, thank you for cleaning my feet. Okay, then the other situation is this, that you see in a lot of church. I'm the leader, and I'm on the ground, and you two stand above me and put your feet on my chest. And now they're saying, well, Chris, if we decide as a group that you can do this and you can do that, then you can do it. And if not, keep your mouth shut. Right? And that's not what it is either. But what it is at this church, there's some guys who are leading the church. And we're all going in a direction, and we want to go in a direction together. And so I'm going this way, and this guy tucks in with this arm here, and this guy tucks in with this arm here, and other guys tuck in, and we're going that direction together. Isn't that a preferable way to do church? Where we're connected, where we're in unity, where we're going in a direction together. Not because it's always going to be perfect. We're people. We make mistakes. But where we can say, where we can cover each other's sins, where we can put others first, biblical principles. And we can just enjoy going in a direction together and accomplishing things and seeing things happen in a positive way instead of just being torn and never actually accomplishing anything. You look at governments I was in, there's the Indian population and there's the black population, and they're constantly changing government. And so when the Indians get into government, they have a direction and they're going this way and they start building infrastructure and doing all these things. And then the black population gets into government, and then they're like, we're not doing that anymore. We're doing this. And they start going another way, and nothing ever gets accomplished. And it's just awful for the citizens of that country, right? And so, yeah, I think I got to end this pretty soon. But I only got one page left, so that's good. You know what? He's been a real ox. He's been a real ox, a real warrior here. Whether he's always been as polite and kind as Canadians are or not, His heart has always been for the kingdom and to pursue the kingdom and to fight for the kingdom and to plow the ground and to try to help all of us come into a place where we see this, where we see the Great Commission. Is he always talking about the Great Commission? Yes, he is. That where he's talking about the priesthood of all believers, where we join together, where we all have a gift, we all have a spot, we're all part of the body, and every single one of us is important, and it's important that we don't just sit here on a Sunday morning, that there's more things to be done, and each and every one of us has a place to play in that. He talks about reading the Bible and adapting our lives. Kingdom first. Bible school. We had a Bible school teacher. He always used to preach, then beach. And so Because that's the Father's heart. Jesus has two priorities. And it's important that we make what's His priority our priority. His priority is His church. That's His bride. He has a major priority on His church being glorious. And the second priority that He has is the lost. And so we need to adjust our hearts that church is important, His bride is important, and the lost are important. And that's why we work together, and that's why we do these things. And so, I hope that this is something that has spoken to you today. I mean, it's always a privilege, but it's always difficult to convey the heart of the Father when His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways. And to hopefully bring a chunk of meat to you this morning, and for some of you it was raw and bloody. Maybe for some of you it was medium rare and perfect, and maybe for others it was like a chewy and way overdone, but hopefully you will leave here nonetheless chewing on something that I've said and even take it to God and say, is all of what He said nonsense, or what was the one thing that He said that I could do to adjust my life? And so, God, I just thank You for the day. I thank You for Your word. I thank You that that Your heart for us is so amazing that it should bring joy to each and every one of our hearts. And if it doesn't, I just pray that we would pursue You, that we would listen to You, that our ears would be open, that we would want to follow You with all of our hearts so we could live in this place of joy in the hills, break into song, and where the trees clap their hands, this glorious body that You desire for us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.